science is interesting, and if you don't agree, you can fuck off.
CRISPR. Ellen.
CRISPR.
What is CRISPR?
Oh, what is CRISPR? Well,
and why are we talking about it today?
Why are we talking about it today? Well, those of you who've been following the news might well have noticed that, was it last week or just the week before last week, there was an announcement by a Chinese scientist by the name He Jiankui. I'm told that that's the correct pronunciation, or close anyway. And he's at the Southern University of Science and Technology in Shenzhen, in China. And he announced that essentially that he had made designer babies, shall we say, if we can put it like that.
Well, shall we go? Let's go. Let's get a bit of context about CRISPR first.
Okay. Okay.
Because designer was probably not the reason that CRISPR came about.
Oh, no, definitely not. No. But CRISPR is basically a gene editing tool. Okay. So it allows you essentially to take bad bits out of your genes and replace them with good bits or whatever. So essentially it's giving you the power of the power of God if you want it, really, you know. So potentially it's going to be a great thing for hereditary diseases that are passed on genetically, or that are in your genes essentially, and so you can, you know, in one fell swoop, basically cut those out and get rid of sort of hereditary stuff, which is great in principle.
Great in principle. I want to pick up on what you said, though, cut something out and replace it. Do you have to replace it?
Not necessarily. Okay. You can just sort of delete the bad bits
right.
and stuff.
But this is still being developed.
It is. Really. So this was a recent sort of development around about, I think, 2013, 2014. So it hasn't been around for very long, but, you know, it's going to win the people a Nobel Prize that came up with this, most certainly. And now, obviously, that, you know, we've got the power to edit genes in a reproducible way, obviously a step down the track is going to be to utilize this method on living systems, okay?
Mm. We have talked about this before, and you sort of, the concern being that you go down the road of picking what you want and don't want
child. Yep, mm-hmm. there's eugenics for you right there sort of thing, isn't it?
Mm.
So
this scientist has completed the first?
Yes. So these are the first babies to have been born after having used CRISPR on their embryos. And the idea behind this was apparently to confer HIV immunity on them, okay? So there is a natural mutation of a gene that I think in Africa it was found originally that some women were immune to HIV, and this was found to be due to a natural mutation in one of the genes. So what he was trying to do in this case was to, I guess, artificially mutate the particular gene, so to carry out the same mutation artificially using CRISPR.
So do you need that original mutation from someone, or can you make it yourself?
No, you don't need it from someone. All you need to know is what bit of the gene, you know, what part of the DNA
and what it looks like, it's different.
Yeah. And in this case, you do you carry out a deletion, apparently. So you take some DNA out, essentially. So you take some bases out of the DNA. Now, so he did this, and he announced it at a press conference prior to a big conference. And what he'd been doing was, in fact, not known to his university. His university didn't know he was up to this. However, he seemed to have got some people to film what he was doing over the last sort of, you know, 6 or so months. And this was all presented in YouTube videos.
Whoa.
And so there were about 8 couples, I think, involved. And what he did was, so, as I said, basically take the embryos and using these CRISPR chemicals, he would micro-inject them. He's trying to basically sort of get every cell treated, shall we say, so that all the DNA in each cell was
lined up.
Was basically being treated. So cutting out this bad bit, okay. And from what I've read, apparently he got about 70% of it. You know, not the whole lot, around about 70%. I know, you've got a horrified look on your face there.
He didn't get it all. Properly.
No, apparently he didn't do it properly, okay? And these babies are apparently twins as well. The embryos were twins, but each one was treated slightly differently or something, so the end result is potentially
on purpose.
No. I think it was just the limitations of the technique or how he did it or whatever. So, there are obviously problems here, and you know the ethical problems are manifest. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
pretty bad.
And he obviously just wanted to be the first person to do this.
Well, because the thing was that, from what I read, it is currently sort of allowed, I suppose, to do it on embryos, but not to have these embryos be, you know, become children.
Yes, I think that's probably fair comment. Yeah, and again, I haven't sort of seen any animal trials or something like this. I would have thought that, you know, obviously the first place to go for something like this would be animal trials, and let's make sure that there are no unintended consequences of all of this.
Right, your other concern is what might happen to following generations?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, this DNA is going to be handed down to these kids' kids, you know, in
and
time.
At that stage, there's no way of knowing what's going to happen.
No, there's absolutely not. You know, this is really the genie out of the bottle material.
So did he sort of indicate to these families that this would be an ongoing experiment and watching these kids grow up?
Well, again, from what I can gather, what he told the families was that this was an HIV vaccine experiment. He said nothing about sort of, you know, a genetic alteration.
It's a little problematic in the sense that if it wasn't communicated clearly,
yeah.
Which we can't know for sure. I mean, surely you...
Again, he was apparently the only person who spoke to the family. So, you know, we don't necessarily have any record of what was said or wasn't said.
But also from again what I was reading, it seemed that he made his little YouTube video. Mm. He didn't publish anything in a journal. It wasn't peer reviewed.
No.
None of that. He didn't go through the proper channel.
Yep.
He just released his video. I think on the day, apparently it's been leaked, he was supposed to talk
at this conference.
Yep. And he has not provided any proof of what he has done.
Mm. Yep.
Any of his research, and so it could just be completely untrue, or
If it was completely untrue, it's a really dumb thing to do. Which isn't to say it's a really dumb thing to do if it's true. you need the ethical approval. You need to figure out that, you know, this is going to be a safe thing to do, because this is absolutely totally irreversible. As one writer said, basically you're putting, and he called them wild type genes, out into the environment now. And
it begins a new DNA.
Yes, indeed. Yep.
And also you're opening Pandora's box in terms of bioethics just whatever you can do without the consent of anyone and without any double checking on your work.
Really. And the really dumb thing that I haven't seen answered anywhere is he supposedly did this to confer HIV immunity on these kids. How the hell are you going to test that?
You have to do HIV tests, in order to do that
you're going to have to expose them to HIV. I don't know whether they can do this in vitro or something like that. I'm not sure. I don't know. Hopefully they can, but otherwise it's unprovable, you would hope.
Yes.
Somebody just texts in saying, silly question, if it works on embryos, does it work on adults? And if not, why not? I want in for a few tweaks. Which, I mean, this is a thing, though. We are going to now move into a phase of the world where we pick and choose what we want and what we don't want. Yep. And personally, on a personal note, I'm invested in CRISPR because there's the possibility of removing, you know, a genetic neurological disease.
Yes.
And a number of other diseases, right? And possibly even if you've got, say, cancer, which has come from genetics, there's all these possibilities and that kind of thing. But the other side of it is something we can't necessarily manage, and certainly not right now with the limited knowledge that we have.
That's true. And it was always going to come to this, though. You know, science was always going to lead to this. It was absolutely inevitable, and now it's here. And, you know, questions need to be asked and answered, and people need to sit down and figure out how they want this all to go, because it could go very right or it could go very, very, very wrong.
We should probably move on to another story. Otherwise, we'll keep talking about this. This is going to be ongoing, though, right? We're just going to happen more and more, and we're going to get more and more information, and these kind of experiments will develop. So.
Yep. And apparently, the guy hasn't been seen since he made the announcement, apparently. And the Chinese government has said that all work on this has stopped. So, watch the space.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Accurate clocks.
Accurate clocks. There we go. A slightly lighter topic. So some workers at the National Institute of Science and Technology in the States, NIST, have come up with the world's most accurate clock. And you might think, okay, big deal. So what?
Whatever. Were we concerned about this? Isn't time relative? Is it a construct?
No, you're absolutely right. Time is... Yes. And that's the whole point of this. Brilliant. Okay. You're getting ahead of me here. But you're absolutely right. So the question is, how do we normally measure time? So we went back right to bloody Stone Age, you know, humanity and everything, and time was measured essentially by, I guess they didn't know it at the time, but the rotation of the Earth. So, you know, a day would be measured, you know, using that period of one rotation of the Earth. And then we became slightly more technologically advanced, and then we started using pendulums, mm-hmm. you know, and then time would be measured on the basis of that periodic process of a pendulum swinging, and that was how we measured time. And we still do that now. It's still some sort of periodic process, a frequency-based process, except now we use atoms. And the frequency at which atoms, let's say, oscillate, for want of a better word. Okay, it's a little bit more technical than that, mm-hmm. but that'll do. And we're talking about these things oscillating gazillions of times a second. Okay. And so what these scientists have done now is come up with this new type of clock, which uses a thing called ytterbium, which is an element, a rare earth element. And what they do is they take these ytterbium atoms and they cool them right down to very, very close to absolute zero, and they put them in the paths of laser beams, which essentially stop them moving almost. And they measure their oscillation frequency essentially like that, so at very, very, very low temperatures. And what they found is that they can measure that oscillation frequency really, really brilliantly down to factors of about 10 to the minus 18 and reproducibilities of 10 to the minus 19, which is one with a hell of a lot of zeros in front of it. Okay, mm-hmm. So basically what we're saying is it's really, 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 really ridiculously accurate. And you might think, again, so what, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
But you said it before, time is relative. Okay.
Yeah, accurate based on what?
Good old theory of relativity. And Einstein, bless him, said that time actually goes slow. Well, start again. That the oscillations of these atoms actually go slower in the presence of gravity. So the stronger the gravity, the slower these oscillations, the slower the time. Time actually goes slower in the stronger the gravity is. Okay. Yep. Now, gravity, what would you call it? A warping of space-time, let's say, okay? Yep. But we experience gravity because, mainly, we are living on the surface of a huge mass, okay? And the distance away from the centre of that mass determines what gravity we feel. So the further away, the smaller the gravity, the closer we are, the higher the gravity. And so now they've got these clocks that are so accurate that they can now actually measure gravity. And measure gravity to essentially an accuracy of plus or minus a centimetre. So they can figure out the gravity difference on the Earth over 1 centimetre, plus or minus 1 centimetre, because the clocks travel at different speeds. The time is going at different speeds with the gravity. And I think that's so bloody cool. That really is.
So then you can apply that.
and so what you can do now is map the Earth to a precision of plus or minus 1 centimetre. Okay, because you're mapping essentially the gravitational field of the Earth.
Mapping in terms of what, geographic or, time?
In terms of geography. So you can get the height of the Earth to plus or minus 1 centimetre.
All the way around.
And yeah, no, that's really, really cool. So what they're trying to, and this all sounds very sort of academic and non-practical and everything, but they are looking at making a transportable version of this thing so they can actually carry the two,
move around.
And so they're looking at two clocks and they're looking at the time difference between them. And from the difference between them, they can then figure out, how far above or below each other they are. So brilliant.
Yeah, that is brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. So yeah, I like that.
Someone texts in saying Galactica.
Galactica. Yeah. The Galactica?
Galatigan, not sure.
Galatigan, sorry. No.
Okay, final story.
Final story.
Werner Heisenberg.
Werner Heisenberg. Oh, goodness me, is that the time?
It is the time.
Oh, damn it. Okay, right. It's Werner Heisenberg's birthday today.
Yeah,
yippee.
Happy birthday.
But okay, so it's a really good story. So those of you who watch Breaking Bad, and yes, if anybody out there hasn't seen Breaking Bad, for God's sake, go and watch it.
Do you like it?
It's the best program on television. Aww. The best ever. Oh, come on, it's all about chemistry. I mean, you know, how could it be bad? And his alter ego.
I didn't get through it. I did watch it. I struggled through the bit where they put the body in the bath and used acid to dissolve it. I learnt though that you should dissolve in plastic, right, instead of the bathtub, something like that. Anyway,
there was a specific material that you need to do it in. Basically, very useful thing to do.
Like, absolutely,
not something we're going to go into now. So, Breaking Bad.
So his alter ego was Heisenberg. That was his name, the bad Walter White. You know.
Right.
But Heisenberg, so he was a very, very famous German physicist. It's his birthday today, and he won the Nobel Prize at the age of 31, for God's sake.
Wow. That's pretty good.
For, quote unquote, inventing quantum mechanics. Wow. Okay. So,
And
he did this at the age of 24.
Why didn't he get the prize?
Because Nobel Prizes take a wee while. Right. You've got to figure out whether it's right or not, et cetera, et cetera. That's why CRISPR hasn't got the prize yet. It will do. Okay. So anyway, being a German physicist, he was in the Second World War, obviously, and he was in Germany. He was Jewish, actually. I'm getting that wrong. He wasn't Jewish, but he was persuaded to stay in Germany and work on atomic bomb. Okay, so the Germans were looking at developing an atomic bomb. And this is where his life path crosses with an American baseball pitcher, which is
pretty random.
A brilliant story. So this American baseball pitcher, he'd been playing Major League Baseball for about 15 seasons or something, and then he went and became a spy during the war.
Right.
And one of his jobs was to run around occupied Europe trying to get in touch with physicists and try to get them to come to America and spirit them out of the country. And then he got word that Heisenberg was giving a talk in Switzerland, neutral Switzerland, in late 1944. And the US or the Allies didn't know how close Germany was to getting an atomic bomb. They knew they were working on it, and Heisenberg was involved in this. And so he was given orders to go to this talk by Heisenberg, apparently with a loaded gun. And if he figured that the Germans were getting close to an atomic bomb, his orders were to shoot Heisenberg.
Seriously?
Seriously.
And just be arrested and killed himself. Their justification being that you kill the scientists, it won't go ahead.
Yeah. And he was the one that knew the lot. You know, he was the bright guy and everything. So nothing came of that because the baseball pitcher, who in fact had been to university and everything, was quite a bright guy. He figured from the talk that they weren't even close, and so he didn't go through with it. And Heisenberg got interned after the war and everything, and then he went back to Germany and started research again and everything, and you know, ended his life a respected scientist. But fascinating story. Really cool.
Very.
So happy birthday, Heisenberg.
Happy birthday. All right. Well, thank you, Alan.
Okay. Pleasure.
See you next week.
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. Yeah, okay. Yep.
Okay. Brilliant.
See you guys.
That was Dear Science.